You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 23rd of March 2021 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, the drive to replace as many white people in as many different situations as possible continues unabated. We now hear that the new host of the BBC's television series Mastermind is going to be black. For our American listeners, Mastermind is a TV quiz show, which is exactly what it says in the title. It's about the most intelligent people, and they get given various questions on specialist subjects, and the brightest and most intelligent person wins the quiz and is Mastermind of the Year. David Lammy famously made a fool of himself by going on Mastermind some years back. And the original presenter was John Humphreys, who was originally a newsreader, I believe. And what they've done is they've replaced John Humphreys with a black newsreader who goes by the name of Clive Myrie. Apparently he presents the 10 o'clock news and the 6 o'clock news. And I can recall him doing a newspaper reading show some years back, and it got cancelled pretty quickly. I mean, the guy can read what's in front of him, but I doubt whether he is really going to be that intelligent. The average IQ of black people is 85. And you can say that if he's going to be a very, very, very bright black person, then his IQ is probably going to be about 100. So about equal with the average IQ of whites. So they've replaced John Humphreys with Clive Myrie, and they interviewed him on the BBC this morning. And predictably, he was making lots of jokes, and this is the sort of way that you would expect people to behave if they're trying to cover up the fact that they really aren't that intelligent. They will compensate for it with some other part of their personality. So he was making lots of jokes, and they decided that they would give him a bit of a pop quiz. And they asked him how many episodes of Mastermind did he think there had been, and he answered in all seriousness, 5,000 episodes. Now, if Mastermind had been on once a week for the whole of the year, which it isn't, it's only on for, I don't know, eight episodes a year, 16 episodes a year. If it had been on every week of the year for the last 100 years, it would have been 5,000 episodes. And nobody picked him up on this. They said, oh, no, that wasn't right. It was actually only 95 episodes. But this just really gives you an example of how we are promoting people just based on their race, not actually based on their abilities. It's a similar situation that we see with Diane Abbott, who was formerly the shadow Home Secretary, and she famously couldn't add up either. Now, I'm not particularly good at maths, but I'm not the Home Secretary. I'm not presenting Mastermind. This is the issue here. We are putting people that are not up to standard in positions where they're required to be to a high standard. And I can see this replacement of John Humphreys with Clive Myrie turning out to be quite embarrassing, because just because somebody can actually read a teleprompter does not mean that they are highly intelligent. We also see that more replacement of whites is going on at the Royal Mint. And you'll probably recall last year they brought out a new 50p piece that said that diversity built Britain. Never mind the fact that we've only had diversity since about 1946. Up until that point, Britain was 99.9% white, and Britain was built by white people. They came out with this fraudulent 50p coin saying that diversity had built Britain. And now they've gone one step further. The Royal Mint has launched a new coin that features Britannia, the female warrior who symbolises Britain, as a woman of colour. And of course, a coin, whatever it is it's a engraving, isn't it? It's not in colour. It's effectively in black and white. It's just an engraving. So going on the public narrative that race is just all about skin colour, how on earth are you going to be able to tell that this female warrior, this Britannia, is actually black? And of course, you can tell that she's black because she has a much flatter nose. She has a prognathous jaw, which means that her jaw juts out more than it would do if she was Caucasian. And the hair is stylized, really, so you can't really tell from the hair. But you can tell, basically, from the skull shape that this version of Britannia is black. Now, of course, Britannia is supposed to represent Britain. It's supposed to be the personification of Britain. And now that our capital city is 60% non-white, then perhaps this does now represent Britain. But that should really be a wake-up call for the British people that we are being replaced here. And we're doing this to ourselves, don't forget. We are deliberately displacing ourselves. It is our representatives that are inviting these people into our countries, and it is our representatives that are replacing us everywhere and that are pushing for these diversity quotas everywhere. But this is effectively supposed to be the spirit of the British people, and they have effectively turned her black. Well, let's have a look at the details of Britannia to see whether this is suitable to do this, to just turn this spirit of Britain and turn her black. Britannia is the national personification of Britain as a helmeted female warrior holding a trident and shield. And of course, the trident is there to show rulership, to show sovereignty, to show that this is one of the gods, and the shield is there to show defence. So you've got attack and you've got defence there, and you've got a deity. They're effectively saying that the British deity, or the deity that represents Britain, is black. It's a gigantic fraud that is being perpetrated upon the British people. An image first used in classical antiquity, the Latin Britannia was the name variously applied to the British Isles, Great Britain, and the Roman province of Britain during the Roman Empire. And it was also used to refer to Armorica and Brittany. They were also a part of Britannia. Typically depicted reclining or seated with spear and shield, since appearing thus on Roman coins of the 2nd century AD, the classical national allegory was revived in the early modern period. And of course, we remember the song Rule Britannia, which we use on our podcast here, Real Britannia. So we're effectively singing for this person to rule, and we have now turned the person into an entirely different race. We've turned the person effectively into a foreign race to the British race. And the British are a race. We may have separate nations. We may have Scots. We may have Ulstermen. We may have Welsh. We may have English. In times gone by, we may have had the Irish as well. But we were all part of the same race. We were all essentially the same genetics that we share. We share the same blood. We share the same ancestry. We may have slightly different cultures where we have lived in separate parts of the Britannic Isles, but we're essentially an extended family, and they're now saying that the head of our family has now inexplicably changed race. And what is their reasoning for doing this? They say they want our coinage to represent diversity. Well, why couldn't they put somebody on the coin, somebody black who had maybe done something extra special for the country? Why do they have to misappropriate the Britannic deity and turn her black? Could they not think of any African deities that they could use? They had to hijack one of ours? On coins of the pound sterling issued by Charles II of England, Scotland and Ireland, Britannia appears with her shield and bearing the Union flag. So she's also linked with the flag of the country. To symbolise the Royal Navy's victories, Britannia's spear became the characteristic trident in 1797 and a helmet was added to the coinage in 1825. So I wonder how black people are going to feel being associated with the Royal Navy's victories, considering they are complaining so much about any links whatsoever with the British Empire, and Britannia is very hard to separate Britannia from the British Empire. She was the symbol of the British Empire. By the first century BC, Britannia replaced Albion as the prevalent Latin name for the island of Great Britain. And we should remember that Albion means white. That's where the word actually comes from. It comes from the Latin word alba, and it actually goes back to a Phoenician princess who apparently settled the land of Britain some few thousand years back before Brutus then came to Britain and gave his name to the island. Originally, it was called Albion after the Phoenician princess, and after Brutus the Trojan prince settled the island, he named it after himself. And obviously that's what the Romans called it as well, Britain. After the Roman conquest in 43 AD, Britannia also came to refer to the Roman province that encompassed the southern two-thirds of the island. The remaining third of the island, known to the Romans as Caledonia, lay north of the River Forth in modern Scotland. It was intermittently but not permanently occupied by the Roman army. The name is a Latinization of the native Brittonic word for Great Britain, which is Pretani, which also produced the Greek word Pretaniki or Britanniae. So the name came from the British people. The British people actually named the island, and we used to call it Pretani. And we also have the word Pridane, because the P letter is interchangeable with the B letter when we look at these old translations. In the 2nd century, Roman Britannia came to be personified as a goddess, armed with a spear and shield and wearing a Corinthian helmet. And there are also people that say that Britannia is the same as Minerva. We see these symbols, things like the trident and the shield, and if we see other deities that are carrying these symbols, we can usually say that is the same deity, but it's being looked up to by a different people. And this piece here from Wikipedia about Britannia, it doesn't actually mention Minerva. When Roman Britain was divided into four provinces in 197 AD, two were called Britannia Superior, Upper Britain, in the south, and Britannia Inferior, Lower Britain, to the north. Interesting, that's the opposite way around than you would imagine it, wouldn't you? You would think that Upper Britain would be in the north rather than in the south, but that's the way that it was. The name Britannia long survived the end of Roman rule in Britain in the 5th century and yielded the name for the island in most European and various other languages, including the English Britain and the modern Welsh Pridane. Well, they say here that it long survived the end of Roman rule, but it was in use before Roman rule, wasn't it? It was in use for centuries before Roman rule. In the 9th century, the associated terms Bratwalder and Britainwielder were applied to some Anglo-Saxon kings to assert a wider hegemony in Britain, and hyperbolic inscriptions on coins and titles in charters often included the equivalent title Rex Britanniae. However, when England was unified, the title used was Rex Anglo-Saxonum, King of the Anglo-Saxons. So this image, this representation, is also linked to royalty. It was during the reign of Elizabeth I that Britannia again came to be used as a personification of Britain. In his 1576 General and Rare Memorials pertaining to the perfect art of navigation, John Dee used a frontispiece figure of Britannia kneeling by the shore beseeching Elizabeth I to protect her empire by strengthening her navy. And this is interesting because the British people beseeched Elizabeth I to remove all the blackamoors from the kingdom, because at the time we had a few hundred of these people in the country, and it was felt that they were causing problems, and the British people beseeched Elizabeth I to remove them from the country, and she did remove them from the country. And that is the only real reference that we actually have to any black people being in the country. That's how diverse the country was. There was just a few hundred of them around in the time of Elizabeth I, and she removed them. And they weren't slaves. We never had slaves in Britain, apart from in Saxon times when the Welsh were enslaved, but we never actually had black African slaves here. In natural fact, if any black Africans could make their way to Britain, and they were actually a slave, it was said that the minute that they set foot on the shores of Britain, they would become a free man. So we have a link here with Britannia. Again, I wonder how black people will feel being linked to Elizabeth I, as well as being linked to the Royal Navy. After centuries of declining use, the Latin form was revived during the English Renaissance as a rhetorical evocation of a British national identity. So it's linked with nationalism as well. This is a real insult to nationalism, to make our divine personification into a black female. Especially following the Acts of Union in 1707, which joined the kingdoms of England and Scotland, and the personification of the Marshal Britannia was used as an emblem of British maritime power and unity, most notably in the patriotic song Rule Britannia. So what are they saying? Are they saying that when we sing Rule Britannia now, we're singing about rule the black people? We want the black people to rule Britain? I mean, they really haven't thought about this, have they? They've just thought, well, we want to put more black faces everywhere, so we'll just stick one on the coin and pretend that it's Britannia. That will do. And if anybody was to do that with anybody important that was black, they would be completely cancelled for this. They would be silenced. They would lose their job. We would be told that we were misappropriating black heroes. And yet this is what they're doing here. It seems that they won't be happy until they've just replaced everybody white with black faces, not just on the television, not just in our history, but now on our coins as well, and now even with our divinities. I mean, this is similar to portraying Jesus as being black, isn't it? Britannia was, after all, a deity. British power, which depended on a liberal political system and the supremacy of the navy, lent these attributes to the image of Britannia. So does a black female really represent the supremacy of the navy? I guess you could say they represent numerical supremacy. They certainly do reproduce a lot. I think they've gone from something like 100 million people to a billion people just in the space of a century, and if you look at the UN predictions for how much they're going to increase over the next 40 years, I mean, it's pretty much just a vertical line on the graph. But I wouldn't suggest that they represent the supremacy of a navy, just more the supremacy of numbers. By the time of Queen Victoria, Britannia had been renewed. Still depicted as a young woman with brown or golden hair, well, she now has an afro, doesn't she? Except they haven't actually given this new Britannia an afro. Perhaps she's wearing a weave, or perhaps she is wearing a wig on the coin. I guess it's just not anatomically correct, is it really? She kept her Corinthian helmet and her white robes, but she now held Neptune's trident and often sat or stood before the ocean and tall-masted ships representing British naval power. Well, isn't this a little bit racist, putting Britannia on the coin holding a spear holding a trident. Haven't we been told we're not supposed to associate black people with spears? Was it Prince Charles or was it the Duke of Edinburgh that once referred to them as spear chuckers? And he certainly got castigated for that. And yet now here we have a black woman holding a spear on one of our new coins of the realm. She now held Neptune's trident and often sat or stood beside the ocean and tall-masted ships representing British naval power. So perhaps what they're trying to do here is they're trying to sort of share the British Empire with black people and say, look, we've shared everything else with you. Now we're going to share the British Empire with you and pretend that you were a part of that and a part of reaching out to these other countries in the world with our navy. And again, I don't think blacks are going to be very pleased with that. It is true we used the navy to put a stop to slavery, but they don't see it like that, do they? They think that the British Navy was used to protect these ships that were taking black slaves to America. They really haven't thought about this, have they? She also usually held or stood beside a Greek hoplite shield which sported the British Union flag. Also at her feet was often the British Lion, an animal found on the arms of England, Scotland, and the Prince of Wales. Again, you've got this, you've got a possible accusation of racism there by showing an African woman with a lion. Doesn't that imply that she lives in the jungle? Of course, when it's a white person, when it's Britannia on there, well, we know that she doesn't actually live in the jungle. So the lion there is a representative of royalty. The symbolism of putting a black person on this coin, it has so many different ramifications, doesn't it? It's not just that it's replacing a white deity, but when you actually replace the white deity with somebody black, all the other symbols that are on there suddenly don't mean what they used to mean. They can't do, can they? And if it's showing a lion on there, it's saying that she comes from somewhere with a lion. And if it's showing a spear on there, the trident, then that is showing them to be still spearing animals for their supper, I guess. They're not symbols that were actually used in Africa to show royalty, were they? They certainly didn't use a trident to show royalty in Africa. That is an Aryan symbol. Neptune is shown symbolically passing his trident to Britannia in the 1847 fresco, Neptune Resigning to Britannia the Empire of the Sea, by William Dyce, a painting Victoria commissioned for her Osborne House on the Isle of Wight. And I would offer a different interpretation to that. I would say that by Neptune handing the trident over to Britannia, it was really a foretelling of what was going to happen with feminism, and that women would be put in charge, and that we would look to women as an authority, because that's what it's saying. When you hand the trident to somebody else, that is a symbol of authority. So by Neptune handing this trident over to Britannia, it wasn't just handing over the Empire of the Sea, because British sea power was the greatest in the world, but it was also deferring to women in authority. So these symbols all have different meanings, and to be putting a black woman on there with these symbols, these white symbols, it says something completely different to what the British Mint were hoping to, I think. New Zealanders adopted a similar personification of their country in Zealandia, Britannia's daughter, who appeared on postage stamps at the turn of the 20th century and still features in the New Zealand coat of arms. I wonder how they feel in New Zealand being told that their mother is now black. She has just inexplicably turned black overnight. Are they going to do the same with Zealandia? Are they now going to depict Zealandia as a black African? Or perhaps they would depict her as a Maori? Perhaps the best analogy is that Britannia is to the United Kingdom and the British Empire what Marianne is to France. or perhaps what Colombia is to the United States. Think about that. That is just how important this is. This is the personification of the British people, the same as Marianne is the personification of the French people. And what they've essentially done is to change her race overnight. Are they saying Britannia is now transracial? Is she really black, but she's pretending to be white, or is she white and she is pretending to be black? Either way, it's very, very offensive to the British people. And I think the origins of this is Rishi Sunak. So he's not really going to be thinking of things from the white people's point of view, is he? He's just going to be thinking of it from the directive which he's been given, which is to increase the diversity wherever he can. And he's thought, I know, I have a good idea, let's increase it on the coins. But as I say, what he really should have done, if he wanted to do that, if he wanted to put black people on the coins of the realm, he should have picked a black person to put on there that had actually done something to help the country, not just changed the race of somebody very important from our past. Britannia became a very potent and more common figure in times of war and represented British liberties and democracy. How does a black African represent British democracy? Is Africa very democratic? It's not very democratic, is it? They have a lot of problems with corruption. Is a black female a good figure to show to represent war? Well, I guess they do have lots of wars amongst themselves in Africa, but they're not really known for being very good at warfare, are they? In actual fact, whenever we went to war with them in Africa, we completely wiped them out because they had no technology. They had no weaponry. All they had was their spears, which, as I say, is all that Britannia is holding here, is a trident. How does it represent liberties? Does Africa have a lot of liberties that we don't have here? The symbolism that goes along with the image of Britannia has just been completely ruined by this. It's as if the symbolism doesn't actually mean anything. And before people could read, well, obviously some people could read or write, but it was usually really the priests. But before everybody could read and write, it was symbolism that was used to get a message across. So people would see a coin like that and they would understand what it was actually saying to them, that it was saying that this was a representation of a people that had democracy, they had liberties, they had British sea power, they were powerful on the ocean waves. And by putting somebody black there, it totally messes all that up, doesn't it? Because black people are not the rulers of the sea. They never even invented a seaworthy boat. I don't think they ever tried putting a sail on a piece of wood to see whether that would blow you along. It's one of the common things that they're known not to have invented, the same as they're known not to have invented the wheel. So this is insulting on so many different levels, and I believe it's quite insulting to blacks as well, to tell them that they now represent the British people. They represent their own people and they have their own deities. I think this is a massive fail for Rishi Sunak. But again, we can't expect him to understand really just how offensive this is going to be to white people, because he's not white. The fault here, once again, relies with our representatives that have put Rishi Sunak in charge of the Royal Mint and have told him to increase diversity. I think this was also done as some kind of a sop to Black Lives Matter as well, as if this was going to cause less black people to be killed by the police if we start putting black people on coins. You can understand the criticisms that black people actually make when the British government do things like this and think that this is somehow going to do away with racism. The only way to do away with racism is to separate the races. Obviously, Black Lives Matter will say, well, the way to do away with racism is to pay us reparations and have diversity quotas, but I don't think any of them have said, well, we want to see your national personification of your people turned black. I mean, that is just a ridiculous idea, isn't it? As well as being very offensive. Well, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.